Next week, we again, let me just remind you that starting next week, we'll start our Christmas series. We'll talk about love, hope, peace, and thanksgiving. And also on December 24 and 31, please take note of this, we only have 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Sunday service. Okay? So again, on December 24 and December 31, we only have 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. service. So today we will end our series, Make Disciples, with mission. Remember, we discussed about evangelism on the first Sunday of November, and then we talk about, after evangelism, we talk about discipleship. And then last week, the church planting director of Conservative Baptist Association of the Philippines was here, and he preached on about church planting. So today we will discuss about missions. Remember that our mission is not just for the missionaries. It's also for all of us as individuals, because the four windows, there is such thing as the 1040 windows, but I do believe there are also four windows of mission for individuals. That is our clan, and that's not only about our clan, it should also be our comrades, and also our community, and even our colleagues. Now, I read from Forbes.com, I think you are all familiar with Mark Zuckerberg. Do you know who is? Okay, the developer of Facebook, okay, Mark Zuckerberg. He was invited actually in Harvard graduation, although he himself was a dropout from Harvard, but he was invited in their recent graduation. And he said to the graduates of Harvard in his speech, he said that pursue purpose than success. Okay, let me repeat what he said. Pursue purpose than success. And when it comes to purpose, what does he mean by purpose? He said, purpose is that sense that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. Again, let me repeat what he said. Purpose is that sense that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. Now, there are times that we feel that we are just in a rat race, or maybe right now you feel that you are just meandering in the maze of life. That's why you tend to ask, what on earth am I here for? Well, I'm not promoting, okay, the book of the famous Rick Warren, but sometimes we have that question in life, what on earth am I here for? Sometimes we just think that life is just about work in order for us to eat or to provide for our family. That's good. But sometimes if our life is just going around the circle like that, we're just in a rat race, then definitely we will ask our purpose here on earth. Now, our lesson for us this morning is this. We need to focus on our mission, because our mission is bigger than our life. Remember this, where you are is why you are. Okay? Focus on the mission. Where you are is why you are. Because the mission, it will serve as a fuel. Okay? It will serve as a fuel in our life so that we might have a new perspective when we go to work, when we go to school, when we are in our neighborhood. This will give us a higher purpose as to where we are. The mission will keep us on the right track. We will not just simply meander in the maze of life, but we will keep on keeping on because of the mission. Because the mission is much, much greater or much bigger than our life. Focus on the mission. May I invite all of you to please stand and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Acts 1, 6 to 11, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, As they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, I believe that this is an encouragement for us to keep on continuing on, Lord God, with our mission, because the mission is much bigger than our life, because the mission is, it is until you calls us home or until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to keep on doing our mission, and that is to become a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. Our passage is taken from the book of Acts, and this is actually what we call the sequel to the first book, that is the book of Luke. Remember, Dr. Luke is both the author of Luke and the book of Acts, and he has the same recipient by the name Theophilus. Okay? The book of Luke, it focuses on the life of Christ, while the book of Acts, it focuses on the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the early disciples. Now, there are so many ways for us to divide the book of Acts. Some scholars believe that we can divide it into two. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Apostle Peter. That's the first half of the book of Acts. That's Acts chapter 1 up to chapter 12. And then the second half is the life of the Apostle Paul. Chapters 13 up to chapter 28. But there are also some scholars also believe that we can divide it based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to his early disciples. Remember, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." If you will notice that it was fulfilled in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1 up to chapter 6 verse 7, they were witnessing in Jerusalem. And then from chapter 6, verse 8 up to chapter 9, verse 31, they were witnessing in Judea and Samaria. And then Acts chapter 9, verse 32 up to chapter 28, the last part, the last chapter of the book of Acts, that's the life of the Apostle Paul, they are now witnessing to the ends of the earth, or we call it the Gentiles, the Gentile world. Now, let us look at the narrative of our passage in verse 6. Here we can observe that you must focus on the kingdom of God and not on our own little kingdoms. After giving the opening remarks to Theophilus, Dr. Luke, in our passage today, he will give what we call the last conversation between the disciples, the early disciples, and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last conversation because, as we read in our passage, this is what we also call the ascension, that right after Jesus was taken up into heaven, he spoke again to his disciples. Now, he was there after the resurrection. He stayed with the disciples for 40 days. Okay? And for 40 days, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking about the kingdom of God. He was not talking about the kingdom of Israel, but rather he was talking about the kingdom of God to his disciples. Now, here in verse 6, again, the last conversation after Jesus was taken up to heaven, look at what the disciples ask him. Okay? Remember again, for 40 days after the resurrection, he was talking about the kingdom of God. And look at the question of the disciples. "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" It is as if they do not understand what the Lord Jesus is talking about. Again, for 40 days, he was talking about the kingdom of God. You will be able to read that in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. He was talking about the kingdom of God, and yet look at the question of the disciples. "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to what? To Israel?" They are just thinking about Israel. The late John Stott, he said about this, a respected theologian, about this question, and I like to share this to you. This is what he said. The verb, the noun, and the adverb of their sentence all betray doctrinal confusion about the kingdom. Why? Because the verb restore, remember he said, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? The verb restore shows that they were expecting a political and territorial kingdom. And then the noun Israel, they were just expecting it in their national kingdom. They're just focusing on Israel. While the adverbial clause, at this time, they were expecting its immediate establishment during their time. So the early disciples of Jesus missed the point. Again, let me read to you what Dr. Luke recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. He, Jesus Christ, presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Again, for 40 days. And it's not just after the resurrection, even before the resurrection, even before the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was talking about the kingdom of God to his disciples. But their focus is about Israel. Now, where are they coming from? In Luke chapter 22, verses 28 to 30, this is what the Lord Jesus has told them. Remember, after the suffering of Jesus, they were arguing who is the greatest among them. And then Jesus gave them a lesson about who is the greatest. And after he gave that lesson, this is what the Lord Jesus told his disciples so that we know where they are coming from as to why they asked this kind of question. In Luke chapter 22, verses 28 to 30, Jesus told his disciples, "You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So they were already looking ahead that they will judge, that they will be there as a judge of the 12 tribes of Israel. So they were focusing on that kingdom, on their rule and reign. They are not focusing on the rule and reign of God in their lives, but rather they are focusing on what will happen in the future about them. So it's all about them. It's not about the kingdom of God. So what can we learn from this? I believe this is not only true during the early disciples, this is also true for us today. Sometimes we do not focus on the kingdom of God, but we are just focusing on our little kingdoms. We are so much preoccupied with our work, with our school, with what we do in the ministry. If you are in the full-time ministry, these are what we call the little kingdoms. That is why sometimes we are just meandering in this life. But let me tell you, there is more than this. There is much bigger than this. You are just thinking about, again, for you, life is about work, to eat, to provide for your family. Well, there is nothing wrong about it. Okay? There's nothing wrong to provide for your family, to work, but we need to understand that we need to focus on the kingdom of God because that is our purpose, bigger than our life. Let me share to you a story that I read. In 1975, six armed gunmen broke into a deposit boxes in a London bank. Okay, estimated, they stole valuables around $7 million during that time, okay, 1975. And then one lady, okay, whose jewelry was in one of those boxes, it was appraised about $500,000 during that time. Okay, and then after knowing that, she exclaimed, or this is what she said. She said, everything I had was in that box. And then he said, my whole life is in that box. Come to think of it, is life just $500,000? For her, that's her only purpose, to amass wealth. So when the thieves broke in and stole it, he said, it's as if her life was also gone. That's only her purpose, to amass wealth. Let me tell you, focus on the kingdom of God and not on your own little kingdoms. This is a good time for us to reflect on this truth. I want us to understand again that there is more to this life than just going to work, food, providing for our family. Again, it's good that you take care of your work, take care of your career, take care of your business. But let me tell you, the kingdom of God is much bigger than all of these things. Our purpose, okay, especially if you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, our purpose here is the work of God. And that is the mission that God gave us. Our mission. So focus on the mission. Again, remember, where you are is why you are. Okay? Focus on the mission. When you focus on the kingdom of God, it means you are focusing on the mission that God gave us. Our purpose, look at what the Lord Jesus answered to his disciples. This is what he said. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, up to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus did not answer them directly to their question, "Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel?" But rather, he said, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons." Okay? Because it is the Father who only knows all of these things. Now, on this verse, let me just give you something, okay, about a theology, especially when we talk about eschatology, the doctrine of the last things. I understand that some of our brethren in what we call the theological system, what we call covenant theology, for them, it's the church already replaced Israel. So meaning all the promises of God to Israel, it will all of it will be fulfilled in the church. While on the other hand, there is what we call dispensational theology, wherein there's still the distinction between Israel and the church. Meaning God will fulfill all his promises given to Israel, that's for Israel, and then all of his promises for the church, the bride of Christ, it's for the church. Now, I do believe, to make sense of the Bible, that there is really the promise of God for Israel. And I do believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, that of course there is this right time that the Lord will definitely restore everything to Israel. Okay, what he has promised in the Old Testament pertaining to the nation of Israel, it will be fulfilled. Perhaps in the millennium, that's the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that God will fulfill everything that he has said, because I do believe that God is a promise-keeper God. That what he promised to the nation of Israel, he will fulfill it. What he promised to the church, he will definitely fulfill it in the church. So that is what we call the covenant theology and then the dispensational theology. Now, what does it mean for us? Again, it's not for us to know the seasons and dates because we do not know what will happen in the future. God somehow just gave us a glimpse. But what is important is for us to focus on the mission that he gave us. Look at what he said. Remember, he said, "But you will receive power." Now, let me just share to you what I am learning. Remember, in the second Sunday, I said that, GCF New Valley, you are reliable men and women of God. Amen? Walang nag-amen. Diba? GCF New Valley, you are reliable, you are faithful men and women of God. Amen? Amen. That is what everything that I learned, I am passing it on to you so that you can also pass it on to others. Okay? Now, let me give you some sharing about what I learned in my Greek class. Okay, look at this. In verse 8, there is that English word, but. Okay, but in the Greek language, there are two words for the English word, but. Okay, here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus uses the word Allah. Okay, that's Alpha, Lambda, Lambda, Alpha. It's not the Allah of the Muslim, the gods of the Muslim. Okay, but it's just Allah. Okay, it's the Greek word Allah means a strong contrast. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, okay, there's another word for that English word but this time around, Luke uses the word de. Okay? It acts as a conjunction. Okay? Now, for the Greek scholars, or during their time, when someone uses the word Allah, it means you need to pay careful attention because he will give a strong contrast. And take note, the Lord Jesus uses the word Allah and not de. Okay? So when he said, it is not for you to know all of these things, don't concentrate on the things, don't focus on the thing, but, that's the emphasis there, but, focus on this. Okay? That is what the Lord Jesus is trying to say to his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The word power there, it means to function in might, to have that capability to do certain things. And we are talking about a divine power here. Okay? Because it comes from the Holy Spirit, and it was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Now, for what? They will receive power for what? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, what is the connection between the Holy Spirit and the mission? Okay. One commentary has said, the Christian mission and ministry then can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, so the power behind the mission is the Holy Spirit. Included in becoming a mission, remember, they will become bearers of the divine message, the gospel, the good news of salvation that can only be found in Christ. Now, this is quite interesting because in Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord tasked Israel to bring this good news. But they failed. So this time around, the Lord Jesus gave this task to his disciples. Okay, when Israel failed, now I do believe that the church or the disciples of Jesus, they will not fail in mission. Why? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said, but you will receive power, and then go, be a witness. Okay? And it was fulfilled during their time. The 120 disciples, remember the upper room in Acts chapter 2, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the early disciples in Acts chapter 2 up to chapter 6, they became witnesses in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 6 to chapter 9, Judea and Samaria. And then chapter 9 onwards up to chapter 28, they became witnesses through the Apostle Paul, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Apostle Paul to the ends of the earth or to the Gentile world. And look at how Acts chapter 28 ended. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, please open it in Acts chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts. Let's just see how Dr. Luke ended this book. In Acts chapter 28, verse 31, okay, look at what Dr. Luke said. Proclaiming, okay, it's still in a continuous action, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Without hindrance. So I do believe that we are in Acts chapter 29. Because it's continuous action. Do you believe that? That we are now in the Acts chapter 29, the church age. That we are part of this mission. Remember that the moment you believe Christ, okay, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Meaning, if you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit. Then you have the power of the Holy Spirit to become witnesses for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, we have all that divine power. It was given to us, the abiding presence. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the abiding presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember His promise, I will be with you until the end of the age. We have the divine presence of Jesus, so why be afraid? If Jesus is with us, let's do our higher purpose, the purpose that is bigger than our life. Let us become a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. I know some of you, if not all of you, we have watched spy movies or those action movies. Okay, we all know that. And when the government asks, the protagonist there, when the government asks him to go to a certain country, it's an exciting one, right? Because everything that he will do towards that mission. And the same is true with us. The Lord has given us this mission to become witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ. So mission is exciting. Your work becomes exciting. Your schooling becomes exciting. Where you are, where God placed you in your neighborhood becomes exciting because of the mission. Remember, this is not only for missionaries. Okay? Let us apply it individually. You must become a witness for Jesus in your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. As a church, as a GCF New Valley, our Jerusalem is where we are. Our community, the New Valley community, that is where we are. The Lord has planted us here for a specific purpose, so let us become a beacon of light here in New Valley. Our Judea, that is the whole of Laguna. Okay, and I want to report to you, GCF New Valley, that we have a church planting effort in Alaminos, partnering with two other churches, namely New Testament Baptist Church Paete and then Nagkarlan Ministries for Christ. And together with the Laguna Businessman Club, we are partnering together to plant a church in Alaminos. By next year, that's the kickoff. Okay, the kickoff is next year. We have a full-time worker, so from time to time, we will visit there in Alaminos, Laguna. And after Alaminos, Laguna, under the pipeline is already the South Woods. So start praying about this. Okay, that's our mission field. That's our Judea. Okay, in South Woods, because the development there is now starting. There are a lot of condominiums, and I think Mega World already opened up their mall there at South Woods. So that is the mission of GCF New Valley. And not only that, our Samaria is the whole Philippines. And to the ends of the earth, then perhaps we will just support missionaries that go to Pakistan, China, Thailand. We will support them. That's our mission as a church. Okay. Now, as individuals, how are we going to apply this? Remember, your Jerusalem is your clan, your families. Okay. Share the gospel to them. Invite them here in GCF New Valley so that they can hear the gospel. Or if not, remember our past lessons, connect with them. Invite them for a cup of coffee. Talk about life. And I do believe that the Lord will give you that opportunity for you to be able to share Jesus Christ, to share the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ as you are talking about life. So it's not only about your clan, your Judea is your comrades, your friends. Again, connect with them. Be intentional, church. Be intentional with them. In our area, there's a lot of coffee shop here. You can invite them for a cup of coffee and have a life-on-life talk. Share your life. Share what God is doing in your life, and then you can share Jesus Christ. You can share the gospel. Your Samaria is your community where God has placed you. Remember, focus on the mission. Where you are is why you are. You have a mission to fulfill. And then to the ends of the earth, that's your colleagues, your office, your school. Continue to become a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Your life, our life should be missional. We should be mission-oriented. Again, our mission, it's bigger than our life. Why? Because it is until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 9 to 11. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. This is believed to be angels. and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going to heaven." So right after Jesus talking about the mission to his disciples, he was lifted up to the clouds. Now, this is also a picture of Christ's glory. Because every time there's that mention of the word cloud, it speaks about the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first time that it was mentioned, that is during the transfiguration in chapter 9, verses 34 to 35 of Luke, it says here, "As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'" Remember, it shows the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second mention pertaining to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 13, verse 26. "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." Speaks about the glory of Christ. And then the third one is what we call the ascension. It also speaks about the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is its significance to us? The ascension pertaining to mission. Look at what F.F. Bruce said about this. "Christ is ascended, but," okay? Again, "Christ is ascended, but his abiding presence and energy fill the whole book of Acts and the whole succeeding story of his people on earth, and that includes us. His exaltation at God's right hand means that he is the more effectually present with his people on earth always. Remember his promise? I will be with you always to the end of the age. So just like the two men in white robes that's believed to be angels, he said, Jesus will come again. In connection to our mission, to being a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning we need to do it until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will not stop. That's why it's much bigger than us. It's much bigger than the early disciples. They are no longer here. They were no longer here. But still, the mission continues on. So the mission is much, much bigger than us. That's why it is exciting to become part of this mission, because this is bigger than life. Be a witness, my dear brothers and sisters. Be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ with your clans, with your comrades, in your community, and even with your colleagues. Remember, focus on the mission. Where you are is why you are. When you feel that you are being sidetracked in your life, revisit the mission. Always think about the mission, because this is bigger than our life. The Lord has put you where you are for a specific mission, and that is to become a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Indeed, Lord, we thank you that we can do this. We can become part of the mission because we have that power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray this morning, help us to realize this, that we have that power coming from the Holy Spirit to fulfill the mission that you have given us, the mission that is bigger than our life. Help us, Lord, to become witness and witnesses for our Lord Jesus Christ, especially to our clan, to our comrades, to our community, and even to our colleagues and classmates. Help us to always focus on the mission which is bigger than us. Empower our lives, Lord. Help us to realize that you are always with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ is walking alongside with us as we witness, as we become ambassadors and witness for him, that we are not alone with this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is with us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit is with us. So, Father, help us to focus on the mission and fulfill the mission. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May I call on our ushers for our giving? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for how you have provided for our needs. Lord, indeed, this is the last Sunday of the month, and we need to pay our monthly rentals. So, Father, I pray, help us, Lord God, to be sensitive to the needs of the church. And, Lord, I just pray that may the work of our hands, may you continue to bless the work of our hands so that, Lord, we can also become a blessing to this church and be able to pay our monthly rental here in Ayala Mall, Solenad. Lord, continue to bless us, Lord, in order for us to become a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, GCF New Bali. We're so glad that we are here, joining with you in your worship service. We are from GCF Santa Rosa, obvious naman. Okay, so we would like to invite you on December 16, that is Saturday, 4 p.m. onwards. It's one of the major events of GCF Santa Rosa. The title of the musical celebration is Cantarana. Kanta at Harana para kay Jesus. Okay? As our sister church, yata, ina-emphasize ko para medyo may konting conscience, no? Para you would attend this event, no? Please do assist us or support us in this event. It's not only a musical celebration. It's evangelistic and mission purpose-driven musical celebration. Okay, we are giving gifts to the Carmona youth. We have outreach ministry in Carmona, so we have youths there around 60 to 80 youth. So we are giving gifts to them on that also that day. Our song today it talks about the faithfulness of God. Just as we sung a while ago, the unfailing love of the Lord. It never ceases. It never fails. Amen. So we're singing to you, Dakilang Katapatan. God bless you.
So what a way to conclude our sermon. Be a missionary. Okay? Be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. So today we would like to welcome our first-time visitors. If this is your first time here in GCF Nuvali, may we invite you to please stand up so we can welcome you in this church. Aside from GCF Santa Rosa, welcome. For the benediction. May the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Church, before we go, let's sing this song once again.